I'm Bill Littlefield, ahead on this special edition of Only a Game, a tour of the crumbling, once wonder of the world, Houston Astrodome. But first, Earth Day will be celebrated around the world tomorrow, but to the organizers of the 2012 Summer Olympics, it's been Earth Day for years. While competitors in sports from archery to wrestling go for the gold in August, this year's games and many of the stadiums in which they will be played are aiming for the green. Only a Game's Ron Schachter visited London to get a progress report.
To environmental expert Dan Epstein, the 2012 Summer Olympics will be more than a showcase for world-class athletic prowess. During his almost 3 years as the head of sustainability for the coming London Games, Epstein had the task of living up to the promise of the most sustainable Olympics ever. Going green has been an Olympic mantra since the 1990s. The 2010 Winter Games in Vancouver drew particular notice for their high environmental standards in building the Olympic Village. But as Epstein drives around the majestic venues on this 500-acre Olympic site in East London, he notes that just getting started here raised the degree of difficulty.
When we talk about sustainability, the most important thing, really, the biggest move that we made was to come to this site. Very, very industrialized, very contaminated. There was a couple of million tires on the site, hundreds of thousands of fridges and other white goods just deposited here. There was oil refinery.
As well as a host of chemical factories and a nearly century-old dumping site for mustard gas canisters from World War I. That level of pollution meant setting up a chain of soil processing plants to decontaminate the surroundings. Standing outside a few minutes later, Epstein points to the looming 80,000-seat stadium that represents another environmental first in Olympic preparation. It can easily be taken apart after the games.
It's designed in a very unique way to be the first stadium that can be demountable. So 55,000 seats plus the whole roof structure are literally designed to be taken down after the games and to be reused elsewhere or to be recycled. So we've designed a stadium that will leave a 25,000-seater athletics track, which is what we need. We don't have one of those in the city as a legacy, but we don't want any white elephants.
Before the 2016 Summer Olympics were awarded to Rio de Janeiro, London's Olympic Committee had serious discussions with Olympic organizers in Chicago, which was also bidding for the 2016 Games, about transporting the massive stadium to the Windy City. While Rio doesn't seem interested in taking delivery, Brazilian officials are scoping out the 12,000-seat basketball arena, similarly created to be dismantled and moved after the games. Epstein, meanwhile, figures that if necessary, the steel beams left over from downsizing the larger stadium can be repurposed, the large metal panels smelted, and the excess concrete crushed and reused.
So then as you come round, you see the aquatic centre, which will have two 50-metre pools, the first two international Olympic quality pools in the city.
The forces of sustainability are also at work in the architecturally stunning aquatic centre. Inside the swimming and diving facility, old water from the pool is even rerouted to the bathrooms, where it reaches fleets of low-flush toilets. For all of the green ambitions of Olympic planners, there's no shortage of critics and watchdogs, including John Gold, a professor of urban historical geography. Gold and his wife Margaret have co-edited the book Olympic Cities, which looks at sustainability successes and failures at recent Olympiads. Gold points to the housing in the Olympic Village, which will eventually be occupied by Londoners after the Games. He contends that it does not do enough in areas such as water recycling and energy conservation to reach level 6. That's the highest rung of the United Kingdom's building code for sustainable homes.
The standards that have been adopted for the village were less than should have been, and the standards that are likely to be delivered at the end are probably less than they should be. If it was being built to full sustainability, it'd be built to level 6, and it's not, it's being built to level 4. So it's 44% sustainability is against 100%.
London Assemblyman Darren Johnson belongs to the Green Party and serves as deputy chair on the city's Environment Committee.
It looks as well that the renewable energy targets that the Olympics organisers set themselves of generating 20% of the energy used during the Games by renewable resources, they say they are really struggling to meet that target.
That number will likely drop to 11%, in part because plans for massive wind turbines were scrapped. The longer-range goal of inspiring greater sustainability throughout England is similarly in doubt. A recent poll sponsored by General Electric found that just 12% of the public believe that the green example of the coming Olympics will rub off.
This station is Canada Water. Change here for London Overground.
This rider on London's venerable underground says that the full-throttled attempt at sustainability is an Olympic event that he welcomes.
You know, our carbon footprint in the environment is on everyone's mind now, so whether it's about your own personal life or whether it's about the Olympics, I think everyone is hoping we can do a bit more for the environment and maybe do things a bit smarter than we did 20, 30 years ago.
But proponents and critics can at least agree that when it comes to going green, the 2012 Summer Games and their aftermath are bound to set some Olympic records. For Only a Game, I'm Ron Schachter.